Hey, this is Nate Robinson, three-time slam dunk champion, and you are listening to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
We are chasing Mike Ditka, the man himself, in just one second. Hopefully we'll run him down, get him on, get his thoughts on the NFL weekend from the flags that we saw. And look, this is going to be an argument for a while. And, you know, we're seeing people, we're seeing, you know, certain media types, Jimmy Tirano, Sports Illustrated, sound the alarm, and other folks from the NFL Network coming back saying, relax, you know, you can't get upset until after week number one. They said this is going to be different. They said this is going to be a lengthy period of time during the preseason where the flags would come out more frequently. But there are folks who are literally putting together a compilation of all the flags that have come down, and some of them are absolutely unbelievable. Like, some of them don't make any sense. And that's the problem, I think, for the NFL, is that you are setting your fans up to be very nervous and to be very concerned about what the flags will mean. And not that the NFL should care about this all that much, but there are folks here in Las Vegas who I've talked to kind of off the record who are very concerned about what these flags will look like from a sports gambling perspective and what these flags could mean and what the ejections could mean. And right now there is a loud cry from folks who are big football people, big fans, who are starting to say, okay, wait a minute. This has to be reviewable. Like, the fact that we cannot go to an instant replay, if you're going to try and throw a flag on something, you know, the hits have got to be reviewed, because what we're seeing now are hits that seem to be rather mundane. They seem to be rather normal, run-of-the-mill, and flags are coming out. There was a hit in a game over the weekend where the quarterback got sacked by a defensive end coming off the edge, and the quarterback went to his back. The player put his shoulder into the quarterback. I forget which game it was, but it was unbelievable. The flag came out. And that's when your fans start to get nervous about what they're watching. That's a big deal. And the NFL's trying to say that, look, this is just preseason, but boy, I don't know. Very, very concerned about what we're seeing right now. Do you say we got him, Chris? Okay, great. Let's go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. The man himself, Mr. Mike Ditka, on the program. Mike Mapparelt, how are you, sir?
I'm Matt. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for the time. My first question before we get to the flags in the football world, I'm just curious your thoughts of Brian Urlacher going into the Hall of Fame and thanking you and what you meant as a Bear and what you meant to his career.
Well, I don't know about that, but Brian's just a great football player. We know that. He's a great individual. He's a very humble man. And he was a guy that just worked hard at what he did. I don't think he took anything for granted. He tried to get better all the time. Even when he became an All-Pro, he was continually working to get better. And, you know, the Bears have had a great tradition of middle linebackers, starting with Bill George and Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary. And he certainly fits into the category with all of them.
28 Bears now in the Football Hall of Fame. What's it like to be part of that that group, that illustrious group of NFL Hall of Famers from Chicago?
Well, it's really an honor. I mean, you know, you don't play football with the idea you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. You play football because you love the sport, and you play it as good as you can. And if for some reason you play well enough to get into the Hall of Fame, that's a great honor. It's a terrific honor. So, I mean, you don't start out thinking that. I don't think you do anyways.
So here we are with the old school, new school approach to football, and the NFL trying to take out contact, trying to take out the helmet-to-helmet contact. They've tried for a while, and now they've gone even farther when it comes to dropping your head and whether or not you can tackle a guy with your helmet or not. I don't know how closely you've seen this, but are you concerned that the game of football is changing too rapidly and they're trying to take the physicality out of it?
Well, you know, what they're trying to do is to avoid injuries. And you know, but, you know, there's a reason the helmet is the helmet. It's a hard piece of equipment. It's to protect the head. There's no question. So, and I said this a long time ago, and sometimes when a guy puts on a helmet, he has no fear of striking with his head because he feels totally protected. And that's what's happening. I don't think there's any, I really don't. I think it's a natural reaction reflex. I don't think they're hitting to hurt. I think they're hitting because it's a natural movement for him to try to get the guy on the ground. That's what I think. I don't say that they're sticking the helmet in there with the idea they're going to hurt him. Mm-hmm. You hit a guy in the helmet, and if you lead with your helmet and you hit a guy in the thigh, I don't think you're going to hurt him. But you know, you'll bring him down probably. I don't have an answer for it. I know what they're trying to do, and I think they're trying to do the right thing for the right reason. But it's just a hard thing to enforce. I mean, I watched the game. I'm watching one of the reruns right now, and I'm watching the Giants and Detroit. It's really hard for me to watch it and understand what the heck they're calling. Yet they're trying to make the game as safe as they can. But I'll be honest with you, playing football is not safe.
That's been my point. That's my point.
Now if you want to stay safe, I think you got to play horseshoes or something. You know,
because
pitch the bag. Football is a contact sport. It's brutal. That's why these guys' bodies are in such great shape. That's why they wear the pads that they wear, the helmet that they wear. There's going to be some violent contact. That's the game. I didn't make the rules. The game started like that, and it's moved that way throughout history of the game. So it is what it is. I understand what they're trying to do. I just think it's a hard thing to do, and I hope you don't detract from the game by doing that. That's all.
Isn't that why we watch, though? Aren't we attracted to the violence? I think they're afraid of that word, the violence of football. That's why why the sport is where the sport is in our society?
Well, what you just said is a good statement, because I think if you looked at football during the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, your statement would have been exactly true. That's what people liked about it, the hitting, the violence, the contact, things like that. I understand what the league's trying to do. It's just a hard thing to do. I mean, the natural reaction when somebody's coming to hit you is you either lower your shoulder or forearm or hit them in the, I mean, you've got to retaliate. And that's the nature. It's like a boxer. If somebody swings at you, you got to block it and you got to swing back.
Right.
I mean, it's just what I don't make the rules. I don't know how you're going to change it. I know what they're trying to do. I believe me. I agree with what they're trying to do. I don't know if you can do it in football. That's all.
Right. And look, I'm not trying to say that the gridiron greats and others who have done a great job of helping the former players who have dealt with injuries, head concussions, CTE, and the things that have happened to football players later on in their lives. I'm not trying to discredit that or to underappreciate what they have dealt with from the game of football and the compensation that I believe that those guys need to be given to help their medical issues for what they did to build the game. But I have a difficult time trying to understand how you make football, and you call the word safe. How do you make an unsport safe? I mean, you can't, right?
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, you know, if you're right, I say you got to play other sports. And you mean if you know, and people say, well, if you had a 6-year-old kid, would you grow him up to be a football? I'd teach him how to hit a baseball, hit a golf ball. I would not lean that way. I'm just saying that because what you're saying is true. I don't care if you can put all the rules in you want to. You know, if somebody gets hit the wrong way, they're going to get hurt. That's all football. You got people who are bigger, faster, stronger, and in the fact that they're bigger, faster, stronger, moving at a higher rate of speed, that doesn't make the ligaments any
right.
Stronger. You know, so when you get hit the wrong way, something's going to give. You know, they can say anything they want to, but it, you know, people go out, and I don't. But people, that's why they watch the game, to see people get hit hard.
Right.
I mean, people don't think about the skill of, what they're doing. The quarterback's moving this guy over here, moving this guy over here, take advantage of what the defense is doing. They're looking to see people hit people.
There was a report, Mr. Dicka, that came out this morning that in 2018 compared to 2015, there are 15,000 fewer young men playing football in Southern California, one of the real hotbeds for college, high school football recruiting, college football. How concerning is that, that it does seem like people are taking their sons and not having them play the game?
Well, I think it's only natural. I really do. I mean, it's a great living if you can play it, if you can play it well. It's a great opportunity to get a college education if you can play it well in high school and you can get a scholarship to go to college. I think that's the great part about it. But if they're worried about the injury, then they're right. Put a baseball bat in his hand, or put a golf club in his hand, or put a tennis racket in his hand. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see more people into these other basketball, into these other sports. When you think about all the sports that are played, baseball, basketball, football, the only one really that's having a problem right now with these type of injuries and the kind of the drawback from parents putting their kids in it is football.
Hmm. Is there a way to make sure that kids still learn the game without the physicality? And would you recommend having a kid potentially go and just play once he hits puberty, saying no tackle football to the ground until? Because I would hate to see this sport lose the amazing athletes that we've seen over the years come through and play the game.
I don't know. I really don't know the answer. I wish I had an answer because I think I could help them. People, I would tell them what the answer was and then right. Do it this way. I started playing organized football in fifth grade. I played for a Catholic grade school and went to grade school, and I played, and I was the smallest guy. I got my butt whipped. I learned over a period of time. I went on to high school. I was the smallest guy in ninth grade. My junior year, I grew, and I started on the state championship team. But, you know, I had a lot of great coaches in my life. I had a lot of people encouraging me. But I got knocked on my butt a lot. I got my bell rung a lot. You know, I'm still here. I mean, I'm still coherent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes,
know,
sir.
You know, some people probably think I'm not. But I really believe that hits to the head affect some people, a lot of people differently. Some people can handle it. Some people, I think there's a gene in your body that makes you a little more susceptible. You know, we talk about Alzheimer's. I don't know anything about it except that it's a terrible, terrible thing. I've seen it in people. It's pathetic. But yet, some people, you know, they play their whole career and they get banged around and they don't have anything. And one guy has one concussion and all of a sudden he has it. So I think some people are more susceptible to that than others. That's all. But I don't have an answer, guys. Football is a great sport. I mean, I wish you could play the sport and hit people as hard as you wanted to, and nobody would ever get hurt, but it's just not going to happen that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Dick, I'll get you out of here on this. The Bears have a lot of excitement. You got a young quarterback. What are your expectations for Chicago this season?
Well, I think the coach is very good. I do. I think the quarterback, I really love the quarterback, a young kid. I like a lot of things they're doing. They can get after you on defense. They can run the football. Now, those three things are imperative. You've got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to play defense. You got to be able to match up on special teams. If you can do those three things, you can be competitive in this league with anybody. And I think the Bears are right on their they're moving in the right direction. They maybe not have all of them mastered right now, but I certainly like the quarterback.
He is the man himself, Iron Mike Ditka, joining us. Mr. Ditka, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Love talking football with you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
That is Mike Ditka on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Great, great conversation there with Mr. Ditka. Some really cool things I want to hop in coming up next. We'll get to the interview with a recap of it next. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.